B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Felger and Mass here, presented by DraftKings. On a big boy Tuesday, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us via Zoom in these socially distanced times. We're not going to let him in the studio quite yet. Maybe
yeah,
not.
What am I, dirty or something?
No, we don't know.
Why won't you let me in?
We don't know.
Come on, Radzi, let me in.
Because we run a tighter ship than Belichick does.
Seriously.
Exactly right. We have quality control here, unlike the Patriots.
Tell your old man to put that in his pipe and smoke it.
I shower.
Greg, what's the biggest issue on the team?
Tight end, no doubt. I mean, look, you can make arguments for, especially now that Coward's on the COVID list, for defensive tackle, linebacker, a wide receiver, perhaps you could talk me into. But I'm coming back to your point, which you had early on, which was about you wanted a tight end. I wanted a receiver because I didn't know what they were going to get out of Bird. I think they're going to get enough out of Bird. They have nothing at tight end. They have zero. They have seven targets to the tight end. The next closest team in the league is the Panthers with 13. The league average is 33.
Mm.
The Patriots have seven.
Mm.
And this is important because tight ends have been traditionally important to Cam Newton. Like when he had, as soon as they drafted Cam Newton over number one overall, the Panthers went out and traded for Greg Olsen. And he always had a ton of targets. He averaged 6.5 targets per game. When he played, that was just from Olsen from 13 to 16, which was sort of Newton's prime with the Panthers. He targeted his tight end an average of 133 times per season, which was among the highest in the league. The Patriots were less than that, and we all know how they traditionally love tight ends. So if you want Cam Newton to be better in this offense, and just if you want this offense to be better, you need something in the middle of the field. Izzo is not going to be that. Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene are not going to be that, at least anytime soon. And the clock is ticking. They need to go get somebody by the November 3rd deadline, and they need to do it quickly.
Okay, before we get to the trade deadline, just, you know, give me the backstory a little bit. You think it's been, you know, willful neglect by the team on the part of that position?
Yeah, it started with Aaron Hernandez when he had his troubles. That was the offseason of 13. So, in 2011, with Gronkowski and Hernandez sort of in their prime, they had 229 targets for the tight ends that year. They gained over 2,000 yards. They were 44% of the passing offense, the tight ends, that year. Right now, the tight ends are 5%. Last year, it was 10%. So it's gone off a cliff for a few years, but it started with Hernandez. So Hernandez goes on a killing spree and has to go to jail, and they do nothing to replace him. So in the 14, the next draft, they didn't draft anybody. They spend a sixth rounder on a throwaway on AJ Derby in 15, and then ignored it in 16 and 17. And then in 18, the offseason of 18, the Patriots have decided they were done with Rob Gronkowski to the point that they were going to trade him to the Lions. Accurately thought that he was on the downside of his career. Did they do anything in the draft that year or in 2019 to sort of get the successor for Gronk? No. They took Izzo in the seventh round and didn't do anything in 19. So they are here by their own doing.
Okay. You know what? Isn't that so Bill, though? Like, when you think about it, that Bill looks at it and says, I got a generational player at this position. So rather than replace him, you know what I'm going to do? Nothing. Because we can't replace him, so I'm going to go in a completely other direction. Which, again, to Greg's point, honestly, seven targets? Is that what you said, Greg? Seven targets this year?
Three catches.
And last year, I think they were last in the league again in targets to the tight end.
And they were doubly as good. They were doubly better last year.
I mean, really, that's brutal to ignore that position with the success that they have had at that spot, really, in the last 10 years or seven or eight up until the last couple. That is brutal to neglect it the way they did. I'm with Greg.
Yeah, it's been evident, too. I mean, they don't even look at – I mean, Keen hasn't been able to get on the field because of injury, and it's what, a neck? Is that what it is?
No, he's been a healthy scratch the past at least two games.
Well, that's even worse. And then Asiasi, they don't even look his way or they have him in to block. Like, so, I don't know. I'm with Greg, you know, so maybe try to get Ertz or somebody, but they need to address that position.
Okay, I mean, that's a mismatch spot, right? That's a mismatch spot, and Belichick loves mismatches,
yeah,
so why
I mean,
not
I
get
mean,
a tight end?
What was all the talk about when they had Gronkowski and Hernandez? It was all like, oh, you know, they're the knights on the key, on the chessboard or whatever. Like, you can't match up with them. And then, so they went from the height 9 years ago to nothing at the position. Like, that just, and I don't think, it's not a case where, okay, you could understand it if the Patriots drafted all these game-changing wide receivers, and that's where the strength of your offense was. So you ran the ball and threw to wide receivers. They had nothing at receiver either.
Okay, what do they have to trade, Greg?
Well, in terms of draft picks, they have I have to go back to
So I have it here for you. Okay, Greg, they have a first, they have a second. They only have one third, which is a projected comp pick. They would have their own, but they got caught cheating again. So there's always like every other year, there's a pick gone because you try to cheat.
We did this. They've lost the equivalent of a full draft in cheating penalties.
I mean, that's just, we're not making that up. Over the course of Bill's tenure, they've lost a full draft board to cheating penalties. It's unbelievable. So anyway, they have a first, a second. They lost their third, but they have a projected comp pick coming. Is that for Brady?
Yes.
Okay, so they have the projected Brady comp pick coming. They have their own fourth and then two projected comp picks in the fourth. Is that for, like, I don't know, Van Noy? And maybe Collins, maybe?
Yeah,
something
right,
like
yeah.
that. Okay, so they got potentially three-fourths, a fifth, couple of sixths, and blah, 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 sevenths. Okay, so they got that's what they do have, a couple extra mid-round picks, okay, if they don't get caught cheating again between now and the end of the year. But you've got to you hold your breath on that. Then you say players who could be traded, players who could be on the block. You mentioned Joe Tooney, who's been Maz's most valuable player on the team through the first four games.
He's been good.
The running back, J.J. Taylor. The tackle, Corey Cunningham, the offensive lineman, Froholt, and Derek Rivers, who has he shown up a little bit
at the beginning?
Very little.
So very little. Okay. And then you say long shot, Stephon Gilmore, Julian Edelman, Sony Michel, or Damian Harris. So you think those are chips and you think those are potential guys they would look at, especially those last three, Greg?
I would. Well, let's just start with Tooney. I would listen on Tooney. I mean, just because, you know, not only because, look, we're not talking – I don't really want a short-term fix at tight end because they're here where they are right now. So, you know, sure, you know, Asiasi and Keen might develop at some point. So, you know, you might be, you know, cooking there at some point and might have a chip. But I want to – they need to invest. They need to get a real player who's going to be here for a few years, not a Martellus Bennett, you know, plug-in sort of guy. And so I would think about – Tooney, I would seriously consider that. Plus, you gain the cap space back, which is going to be valuable next year.
And you like Nwenu, right? You think he can play now?
Yes. I mean, he can. He is a starting caliber player right now.
Okay, so tight end. I mean, I said tight end, you know, start the year. Not that it was necessarily their biggest need, you know, that or receiver. I just wouldn't trust Bill on a receiver. I would trust him more at tight end. But when you look at his track record, other than Hernandez and Gronkowski, I mean, what his record there is spotty.
I mean, he whiffed on a lot of those guys at the beginning, Daniel Graham, Ben Watson. Those guys never turned into the players they thought they would be.
And the veterans he brought in have pretty much uniformly sucked, other than Fourier, who was good, you know. But, remember Cam Cleland and
sure.
Brady? Who was the other?
Kyle Brady. They used him mostly as a blocker, right?
Kyle Brady, right. There's Chancellor, what was his first name? The big tall guy from Buffalo?
Scott Chandler.
Oh, what a stiff he was. They all blew. And I thought Bennett was overrated. Dog. Like I think even his veteran moves at tight end have been spotty over the years. And his draft picks, I think, and in the draft, he's like 2 for 20. And one of them was a mass murderer. So it's like, I mean, it's that maybe I shouldn't be more confident with him at tight end than receiver because it's just as spotty. But I don't know. I feel the closer to the ball, the better I feel about him.
Yeah, totally. Bill, I mean, you know, it just cuts a Gronk at the end of the day. He got maybe the greatest tight end who's ever played. That's what it is.
Okay, you want to weigh in on the tight end thing? We can do it right after we rifle through the 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, 10 questions here and around the league. 10 minutes to do it. Got to be on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options this week?
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
Okay. Gasper came in hot last Friday. There's a sample. Go.
The little fella. 5'2".
Okay, background vocals to the Soucy song. Go.
Mr. Bob Soucy.
More of that.
That take isn't going to age well. Blah. Next. What an idiotic take.
Next.
Your port.
Next.
Puckhead.
How does that taste? Know your history.
Like dog food.
Okay, there you go. Hit anyone you want. How does that taste? Know your history.
Like dog food.
Number 10, Greg, was Dak Prescott smart or dumb to turn down the Cowboys' five-year, $175 million offer last offseason? And how do you view that decision now in light of his injury?
Well, for me personally, I thought it was dumb just because I'm the type of guy that I would take less. I mean, just to get the team around me. $35 million a year would have put him on par with Russell Wilson. I would have been fine with that and hoping that the Cowboys use the money elsewhere. I mean, I don't understand maximizing your value at a position like quarterback where you're going to get plenty and you're going to make plenty off the field. I just don't understand that.
I think he did the right thing. I don't have a problem. I don't think he made a mistake at all. I think he just caught a bad break. And the reality is, honestly, he might lose money in the short term, but if he comes back and plays well next year and a quarterback he can, he'll get it right back.
But he won't. He overvalued himself. He should have taken the money. And now he's broken. He'll never be the same player again. And poof, money's gone. You blew it.
Yeah, I think he should have. That was a fair offer. That wasn't, yep. I mean, what is he, that should be the highest paid quarterback in the league?
Oh, no, he shouldn't. But I still think he's going to end up getting his money. I don't think this is a career ender.
Next. Your port. Number 9, rank them. And there's a method to my madness here. Teddy Bridgewater, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo. In order, please.
Bridgewater, Garoppolo, and Goff.
Maz?
As of right now, I'm doing the opposite. Goff, Bridgewater, Garoppolo.
Ooh.
I will go Bridgewater, Goff, giant drop-off, Italian Goff.
Okay. I just did that because I looked up the winning percentages as starters from each of these three. And I think, you know, Bridgewater, I think we're all okay with. And
second in the league right now in completion percentage.
And, you know, mostly Goff and, you know, at least some quarters, Garoppolo on this show gets nothing but derision. But you look at the winning percentage of those three, you know, they're both in the top. All three of those guys are in the top 10 in quarterback winning percentage in the league right now. And when you look at it, and I said, no, I feel like Bedard rifling through my papers. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater is a starter, 25-14, 641 winning percentage.
Pretty good.
All the guy does is win.
Yeah, he's good.
Wherever he goes, he wins.
Very steady. So the one thing with Bridgewater is the reliability factor, you know, the durability factor. And I question whether he can make big plays at big moments.
Okay, well, but that's different than
totally.
Wherever he goes, winning. And Goff, for all the, you know, crap that he gets, 37-22, 627 winning percentage. And both those guys are blown away by Garoppolo, who's 22-7, with 758 winning percentage, which I think we all sort of feel that's on the way down this year. You know, I think they're, you know, I think we'll look at that. They're in some trouble this year. But for all the crap those guys get, they all pretty much just win.
Yep.
I mean, so.
I mean, the two of them have been to the last two Super Bowls.
Especially Bridgewater. I mean, to me, that's one that's like, that Carolina team does not have much going on. They've just won their last three without McCaffrey. It's like no one expects anything from them. And here comes Teddy Bridgewater again, completely under the radar, winning. Like, I don't know.
He's a good story. Bridgewater's a good story. So is Carolina. They're one of the surprising teams in the league.
A little soft.
Oh, yeah, he is. I agree.
Okay. Fragile, as we say. Next.
See, I can admit it.
That take isn't going to age well.
Number eight there, Greg. Mike Zimmer, Vikings coach, said he'd do it again on fourth down. He'd go for it again in the same situation that he had the other night in Seattle. Your thoughts on that?
He's a moron defensive coordinator.
I tend to agree with Greg. What do you mean you do it again? See, that's just stubbornness.
Don't you love it, those coaches that do that?
That's just stubbornness. No, you kick it, you make them get into the end zone twice. You go up eight. Again, play the odds. Kick the field goal, make them get into the end zone twice in the last 2 minutes.
And by the way, this is his defense. This is his creation. All you needed to do was kick the field goal, go up eight, and your defense has to make one play. One play at some point on the field.
Guy's an idiot. I feel like he's determined to lose his job. All he has going for him is his busty Instagram girlfriend, Maz Lookaroo.
He has a busty Instagram girlfriend, Mike Zimmer does?
Oh, yeah, he's completely...
She's young, too.
Yeah,
really?
Completely outkicked his coverage. Right,
get on that. Next.
I got new respect.
Go.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
Number seven, Greg. Looks like the Steelers have another good young receiver in Chase Claypool, a second-round pick, by the way. What's their secret at the position, and why does Bill suck at it?
Well, I think Bill was hamstrung by Brady for a while, so we'll see how it goes from now on with a different quarterback. But I think the Steelers, they go for talent over anything else and just hope it works. And sometimes it does work. A lot of times it does not work. So they get some dunderheads there at receiver and have to cut bait with them. But, you know, they just throw the numbers at them.
No, Greg got it right. They go with athletes is what they do. It's an athletic position. So what they do is the outside receiver is about athleticism, largely. And they take their shots. Who's the guy that used to run really fast that ended up?
Antoine Randall. No.
And Martavis Bryant.
Wallace. Mike Wallace. Yeah, like him. So you say, and here's the other thing. They don't overcoach it. They just ask those guys to do what they can do, which is, you know, outrun someone, outjump someone. You know, they don't ask him to reinvent the wheel. To me, that's why they're good at it.
Maury, quickly, if you have a thought.
Yeah, their GM, Kevin Colbert, likes talent. Bill doesn't like talent at the position.
Jimmy?
Mr. Bob Soucy.
Number six, should Matt Ryan be on the trading block right now? I don't want to hear about his contract. Just give me a pure, you know, talent evaluation where the Falcons are. Should Matt Ryan be on the trading block right now, and who should trade for him?
They should be selling everybody there because there needs to be a complete teardown, and I would trade Ryan to the 49ers to get him back with Kyle Shanahan and give them another option at quarterback going forward.
That was on my list.
Great one.
Would Shanahan bring him back? Knows the offense, you know, up like the back of his hand. If Garoppolo's damaged goods, you know, feels like Beathard and that other kid aren't up to snuff, she should go to the Niners.
The thing is, Ryan's almost done. He's on the downside. He looks old. Him and Phillip Rivers and a few other guys, they look done, but maybe you can squeeze a couple more years out of Ryan just to be a bridge guy to the next guy.
Real quick.
Indy.
Yeah, Indy was my other one. Go ahead, hit it. That take isn't going to age well. Number five, biggest tool bag Denver Bronco of all time. Tool bag question, Denver Bronco edition. Go.
Bill Romanowski. I just
with a
hated
bullet.
That guy.
Absolutely.
Oh. Lyle Alzado.
What a tool.
Oh,
Romanowski, one of the biggest tools in the history of the league.
Tool bag.
Greg had the answer. Remember when he spit in J.J. Stokes' face? Yeah, that guy's a loser.
Tool bag. Next. Puckhead. If you were to take one running back in the league right now, again, take out all the contracts, you could just have one player at the position, who would it be? One running back.
Kamara. I just think he's the best blend of everything. And some people will say McCaffrey, and I thought about him, but have you seen what this kid Mike Davis is doing since he hasn't been there? He's been unbelievable the past couple weeks and just shows, like, why did you give Christian McCaffrey $16 million per year early? I don't get it.
The guy I like is the one Green Bay has, Aaron Jones. He can catch it. He can run. He's a good player. And he was, what, a fifth-round pick?
I don't even remember. I don't keep track.
Oh, that's where I'd go. Aaron Jones.
Josh Jacobs reminds me of a little bigger Maurice Jones-Drew in his prime.
Kamara's the answer. Go. How does that taste? Know your history.
Like dog food.
According to Boston Sports Inf, prior to last night, the league-wide passer rating was 93.7. Meaning every quarterback in every game, every pass, 93.7. If that were one player in a single season, and you can kiss my ass, Hardy, if that were one player in a single season, that would rank 13th all-time ahead of Joe Montana. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Question, has the league gone too far, Greg?
I don't think so. I like where it is. I think there's a lot of stuff going on stats-wise with the offseason that we had. So I think it'll all level out, but I think there's a decent balance right now between defense and offense.
I don't think it. The offseason has all that much to do with it. It was trending this way anyway. They were into the 90s already last year.
Correct.
So I think it has gone too far. I like defense. I like physicality. I'm not saying it's going back to that, but the league is not as physical and nasty as it used to be. It's not even close.
It's gone way too far. How many good defenses are there?
And like none. They've turned this into a video game. Gardner Minshew's ninth in passing yards. Like, he's a nice little player. He shouldn't have that kind of number.
Next.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
Since he fired John Fox for Gary Kubiak, John Elway's two subsequent coaching hires are Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio. Which was worse?
Vance Joseph, by far. He had a much more talented roster on both sides of the ball. Fangio has nothing, really. And, you know, it's a rebuild. I don't know whether he's going to see it through, but he's a good coach.
I disagree. I go Fangio.
Me too.
I think Denver's starting to turn a corner a little bit. I think they've got a few players there now. And you got that clown coaching him? Oh, please. What chances Drew Locke have with that clown?
So Vance Joseph was a piece of work.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
But he's mostly known because of that clip.
Remember this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Vance Joseph? No, but
this night making his head coaching debut. And Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is having the time of his life.
Oh, my God.
Those were better days.
I remember watching that live. What was that? And there he is.
You watch him now on the screen.
Okay, so anyway, Vance Joseph is like, okay, you swung and missed. That happens. Now it's time to reset the whole thing. And you go to Vance Joseph? I mean, I'm sorry.
Vic Fangio. Watch him now on the screen.
You go to Vic Fangio? Like, that's your bright idea to turn the whole thing around?
He's a defensive coach, and the Broncos defense sucks. He's like grumpier Dan Quinn.
Oh, no. See, I think Fangio's worse because it followed Joseph. It's like after Vance Joseph and that thing, you've got to put this back on the tracks.
For some reason, I put this guy in the same class as the guy who took over San Francisco with a Joey Buttafuoco guy.
Oh, yeah. Who was that guy? Oh, yeah.
Pittard will remember. He knows all the names.
No, Tichina? No. It was something like
the guy that used to rip farts in the press conference.
Yeah, right?
Tom Sula.
Vic Fangio.
And here he is having the time of his life.
Max, last one. Go. Your port. Since Elway, rightly and brilliantly, replaced Brock Osweiler for Peyton Manning that Super Bowl year in 2015, here is how John Elway has followed up that decision with his quarterbacks. Here are John Elway's starting quarterbacks since Peyton Manning. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Osweiler again, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, and Brett Rippon. Okay, I think I just mentioned nine guys. It's only been like 3 years, you know. Okay, of that, what was the worst decision of them all, Greg?
Did you even have Sanchez on that list? Because he traded for him at one point.
I don't think he started, so those were just starting quarterbacks.
Paxton Lynch, because Elway, who was sitting at number 31 in the 16 draft, we were sitting 31st. Elway was like, I have to have that guy so bad that I'm trading a third-round pick to move up in the first round. And he stunk.
I also had Paxton Lynch, but only because I don't know who Brendan Allen is. I'm not kidding.
He got a start last year, I think, as an injured player.
I have no idea who that guy is.
Me neither.
First round pick.
Yeah, and I also had Lynch because he played four games. Four games played for a first round pick at quarterback is banana land.
Is he even in the league anymore? Where is Paxton Lynch?
I think he's out of the league.
Yeah, I think he's gone. I mean,
I think he might be on somebody's practice squad. I'm not sure.
I saw Brandon Allen, and I went, did Mike get that wrong? Is he talking about the guy in Washington?
No,
like
he's
Kyle Allen.
He's on the list. Google it.
He's on the Steelers. Wow. Lynch is on the Steelers.
Okay. Anyway, tough times for Don Elway. Win some, you lose some, Felger. Anyway, you're back to your call. 617-779-0985 right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know Mike Felger like John Elway a little much.
I think Elway's a don.
You know Mike Felger like John Elway a little much.
Elway's got something up his sleeve. He always
does. He calls him Don.
I think he's the Don.
He's sort of Don.
I just think he deserves credit.
But he won't hear me, cause he like a John Elway a bit too much.
God, you love Elway. You guys like to do In Bill We Trust?
I'm a Denver Bronco fan. I feel the same way about Elway.
You talk about Elway like fans in this town talk about Belichick.
Elway took over, and in 4 years, they went to two Super Bowls, won one, won four division titles. All of it worked. I think he's the Don.
You can act like a man!
Oh, Felger, that take didn't age well.
You see, I can, you win some, you lose some, Mass, right? That's the way that that works.
Yep, sometimes you lose more than you win.
Okay, and that too. Okay, but either way. Oh, I did like Elway there. I thought there was a time, I thought he was ballsy. You know, a lot of people would have just stuck with Tim Tebow, given how popular he was, right? Nope, canned his ass, went and got Peyton Manning. John Fox takes him to a Super Bowl. Elway says, not good enough, fires his ass after taking him to the Super Bowl. Brings in Kubiak, right call. It's like, I don't know, I just thought the guy had balls and knew what he was doing. But since that run, I don't know if he's made a single right move. Like, I mean, I can't think of one thing that he's done well.
If nothing else, he's the worst QB evaluator in the league.
Oh, my God. It was a one bag of crap to the next.
Yep.
So.
Seriously, just garbage. Orange bags of garbage.
Okay. Oh, well. Again, win some, you lose some. All right, back to your thoughts. Here's John in Connecticut on Bedard's take on the tight ends. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so I just want to mention, I'm not really sure what's going on with Bedard lately, but I feel like he just absolves like Belichick and the Patriots of any wrongdoing. It's always somebody else's fault, the league's fault. They got COVID.
What else?
It was Tom's fault that they couldn't, you know, draft tight ends apparently and wide receivers.
Who said this? Who absolved Belichick?
Hold on. Greg just blamed Bill for not filling the tight end thing, but you did say about the receiver problem that, and I agreed with it, is that they had Brady in the way of the receiver thing, meaning yeah. Brady, you know, was hard to get on the same page with, and Brady was not great at developing receivers either, and that worked against Belichick. So you did say that last segment, but I actually agree with that.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what John's referring to. Go ahead.
But the reason I called really was, you know, so we should stop giving Bill any credit on Cam Newton and waiting for him, because the last years of Cam being successful in the Panthers, his biggest target was Greg Olsen, a tight end. So if they imagined that Cam was going to be available, they should have really prepped for him and brought somebody else in here.
Oh, I'm with
really
you.
Help him out.
So I give Bill no credit for Cam Newton as a GM. As a GM, any fantasy player could sit there and go, oh, we go get Cam Newton. That mean that took nothing. I do give Bill credit for Newton's game, for managing Newton and putting him in a good spot in the way the offense looks, and even some of the mechanical stuff. I'll give the coaching credit for that. The coaching.
Why are you giving Belichick credit? It's Josh. Bill has barely anything to do with the offense. I don't know why you keep giving both of you guys keep giving him credit for what's going on with the offense. Bill has little to do with the offense.
I don't believe that. I think Bill has a lot to do with everything.
It's true.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, no one knows. I think it's so. If I have a rookie quarterback and I can have only one coach work with them, Belichick or Josh, I'm picking Bill because Bill to me is a common denominator.
Well, the other thing, Greg, is, you know, and look again, you're around it. I default to Bill on everything with the Patriots. The draft, Bill. The defense, Bill. Special teams, Bill. Offense, Bill. Ticket sales, Bill.
No, but that's true.
Everything is Bill.
If I'm going to criticize him for everything, I got to give him, you know, like that.
Bill has, that might have been the case earlier, but Bill has way too much on his plate with the defense the past couple of years. A lot. And since Patricia left, it's been the Bill show on defense. He's in charge of everything, pretty much.
Well, listen, I'm sure Josh is involved, and I think Josh is a good offensive coach, too. And I'd be happy if McDaniels were the next Patriots coach. I'm on record as saying that. So I'll just put it generically, coaching. Bill, Josh, whatever the combination is there, the program. But I don't give any GM credit to it because, again, any 12-year-old fantasy player could have signed Cam Newton for a minimum-level salary. That took nothing.
You know? And, like, you know, John thinks I absolve the Patriots of everything, but I told you months ago that there was no plan, that they would have taken whoever was left as the veteran. It could easily be Andy Dalton right now. Instead, it's Cam Newton. They lucked into it, and then they've made it work.
And by the way, I think they would have been just fine with Andy Dalton.
So do I. In fact, I bet you Dallas is okay with him.
Yeah, they should be. I think he's fine. If the rest of the pieces around him are good and work, they'll win games with him. I don't think you win at all. But that's just what a backup does. He should come in and run the ship, and I think Dalton can do that. And he would have done it here, I think. BJ in Worcester. Go ahead, BJ.
Yeah, so I just think that the Patriots offense needs to add weapons. I mean, if you're going to rely on an aging Edelman and a suckish N'Keal Harry to get you through this season, I mean, come on. We just cannot rely on those two guys. We need to add someone like OBJ or Allen Robinson, just someone like that, you know?
Okay, how do you view Edelman right now there, Greg?
I think he's quickly going down the downside of his career. I think he's lost it. You know, that you see him, you know, whatever that stat is about, like 24 drops in 26 games or something like that. When receivers' legs start to go, their hands start to go. And so to me, he's on the downside. He doesn't look like he wants to be out there. I think he's dealing with a knee thing that's really giving him issues. I'd be surprised if he made it through this season. And so, yeah, I think they could use some help on the outside. But if I'm prioritizing, I'm going at tight end, and I'm calling the Browns about Njoku, who just came off the injury list. They have plenty of tight ends. Evan Ingram with the Giants would probably be my number one target. Very athletic and much more durable normally than Njoku. And then you know who's really the easy guy to go get? And this is probably what the Patriots will do. Jacob Hollister with the Seahawks.
Oh, who they passed, or, you know, who Brady
they
again,
traded.
Who Brady wasn't into to begin with.
He's turned into a pretty good player over there.
Does Atlanta have any tight ends?
They have...
What's his name?
Not really. They signed the kid. They tried the kid from the Ravens. I forget what his name is. But he's
Hayden Hurst.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the other guy they have that went to Cleveland. I forget.
Okay, so anyway, we will wrap it up with Greg and his calls and your calls. What I mean, with Greg's thoughts and your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Continue to, you know, make adjustments here on a regular basis. So we'll try to make the most out of, we will make the most out of, you know, opportunities this week. And we'll you know, be ready to go on Denver here for Sunday. So hopefully we can, you know, stay on track and, you know, continue our preparations from last week. They'll obviously roll over into this week with, you know, some adjustments, but those will be relatively small compared to the overall scope of the preparation. And yeah, looking forward to getting back to playing here and coaching.
And he'll get his best offensive and defensive players back. Worked out pretty well for them, much of the. What'd you say?
Convenient.
That's nice. Wrap it up with some calls here for the big boy, Greg Bedard. Luke in Wakefield. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, hi, guys. You guys are on the last segment there. You're ripping on Vic Fangio. This is a guy that Bill Belichick has a lot of respect for. Unless Newton and Gilmore play in this game, Denver probably wins. I'd like to hear Greg's opinion on this.
Greg?
are we talking about the Denver Broncos? They're, I mean, look, they have some talent. They do. And Maz was right about, you know, they do have some talent. But their offensive line has to be the worst in the league. They're awful. That Garrett Bowles at left tackle is somehow passable at this point. They have to be grading on a curve. I mean, they are awful. The Patriots could probably win this game with Felger at quarterback and Maz at fullback. The Broncos are terrible. If the Patriots lose this game, there's no excuse. Yes, I think Fangio is a good coach. I think he's an excellent defensive coordinator. His schemes have always been successful. Is he a great head coach? I have no idea. I was surprised that they hired him. But there's no question that he is a good coach.
Okay. I think he's in it way over his head.
Yeah, could have fooled me. Tom in Arizona. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, you know, I agree with Greg. We traded Hollister to Seattle for a freaking measly seventh-round pick, and here Seattle went ahead and they tendered him to a second-round type pick and pay him $3-something million now. You know, I mean, the kid is good, okay? The kid can run like a wide receiver. He had a good year last year, and I really think Bill should go back and try to trade for him.
Okay, so that is one that I would put on Brady, because it's like the counter from the Brady crew is, well, what receiver's ever gone on and done anything? And, well, there's one of them. I mean, there's one of them. And not that he's freaking, you know, Russ Francis out there or anything, but certainly I think would give you more than what you currently have on your roster.
He had 41 catches last year. How many did they have from their tight ends overall?
I don't know that number.
Has to be lower than that, I bet. I don't think Izzo and Lacoste combined for 41 catches.
36. They had 36 for 418 yards and 2 touchdowns last year.
Okay, he had 41 for 349 and 3. And look, I'm not telling you he is some sort of, you know,
right,
game breaker, but he's better than what they have.
Yep.
Pete in the truck has a thought for us. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking a call. So, watching the game last night, Saints and Chargers, and you guys have touched on this pretty much from day one, how coaching in the NFL just seems to be that nobody, except for a certain handful of coaches, is able to make adjustments at halftime. And there was Anthony Lynn last night with sitting on a 20-3 lead at halftime, and you could just see this coming. That there was no adjustments made either on the offensive side or the defensive side of the ball. And it was like, okay, Drew Brees, we know you were cold in the first half. We're just going to sit back. We got a 20-3 lead. We're going to just see where the chips fall. And there's just no adjustments made. And this was just one game last night. But you guys are right since day one. It just seems like only Belichick and a certain few know how to do this. They know how to pedal the bike. And no one else seems to be able to figure it out.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is, you know, two straight weeks where the Chargers have a really good first half, and then Brady Brees, two guys have been around forever, pick them apart in the second. Is Gus Bradley still their defensive coordinator,
yep,
Greg?
Yes.
Is it still that doofus?
Yep.
So it's like he runs the same thing, and it doesn't, you know, you give Brees and Brady the same defense series after. They're eventually going to figure it out if they haven't figured it out even beforehand.
Yep.
So what makes you think that's going to work for 60 minutes against those kind of guys?
It's awful. I mean, and the thing is Pete makes a good point. I mean, I always think that the best coaches in this league coach aggressively, offensively, no matter what side of the ball you coach. And I think that I always get excited when I see coaches. Like, I don't know why coaches don't do this more. Maybe it's just not practical. There's not enough time during the season. But you do see it in the postseason. And sometimes you see it out of the Patriots. Is coaches' game plan a change-up to start the second half defensively? Like, because you know they're going in at halftime and saying, all right, what's working, what's not working? So let's adjust to that. Well, if you adjust defensively, all of a sudden now you put them back on the defensive and they're struggling. And you do see that the Patriots do that sometimes. I'd like to see it some more.
I've said this before, but I would like to nominate Gus Bradley as the worst coach in NFL history.
Look at Quinn, Bradley, like nobody outside of Seattle, because you need good players to run that scheme.
Pete Carroll's tree makes Belichick's look like a redwood, for crying out loud. Seriously. So this guy, Bradley, 4 years in Jacksonville, 4-12, 3-13, 5-11, 2-12. Thank you. It's Tell the Truth Monday. You're fired. Goodbye. 14-48.
I love
14-48.
Tell the Truth Monday. You suck and you're fired.
Yep. And the Dan Quinn got that message yesterday.
Hey, real quick, Greg, do you think Herbert can play?
Yeah, I've been surprised, Jim. I had my doubts about him. I thought that he was one of these kids who, sort of like Garoppolo, who haven't seen a whole lot of adversity in their career. And the NFL is really hard, and some people have a tough time. But I'll tell you what, the kid's done a really good job. He's a lot tougher than I thought he was going to be. I knew he had the arm strength, and he's got sensational tools. Oh. But you just didn't know whether he would put it all together so early.
Physically, tool-wise, he's got a hose.
He looks exactly what a quarterback should look like.
The package, yep. The yeah. whole mm-hmm. thing.
So I'll tell you,
huge. The ball jumps out of his hand.
Big time.
And he moves. He's big. He moves. The ball is, it comes out perfectly.
Get him away from whatever Shane Steichen is, that offensive coordinator there.
Get him away from that whole operation.
Well, no, I think Steichen's done a good job. And Pep Hamilton, the quarterback coach, has really done a nice job with him.
But I don't know, like, what's the problem? Like, why wasn't he, why were...
Oregon. That's what I mean.
Oregon.
Yeah.
Because they play such a Mickey Mouse kind of offense?
Yeah, it's hard to project how they're going to do in the NFL. And in their history, Oregon quarterbacks, their history is terrible in the NFL.
I'll tell you, I want to see a bigger sample with this guy because I think some of his success so far has been that he can throw it farther.
I agree.
Than anyone thinks.
He's had some issues. It's just a question of can he round those out going forward.
Yeah, and I just want to see when defense adjusts for his arm strength. Because I think some of these throws, the defense is going, there's no way he's getting it behind us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he lets it go and they go, whoa! Once they figure that out, I want to see what happens. Because some of these throws, I'm going, there's no way he's thrown it that far, and he does.
I'm just a big believer, you know me, in the partnership with the coach and what's the coaching and what position are you put in. And I don't know what he's surrounded by there coaching-wise. I don't care about the talent. I don't care about Keenan Allen and Williams and, like, the weapons. I don't care about that. I care about the program and the coaching and that. And I don't know. I don't know the offensive coordinator. If he's the equivalent of Gus Bradley on the other side of the ball, he is porked. I don't care how talented he is. He's not going anywhere.
14-48 Gus Bradley.
Jesus. Greg, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys.
Say hello to the old man for us. Tell him to keep watching, listening, and consuming.
I'm going to go right off here. I'm going to say, all right, text me your thoughts on Michael Felger, and then I'll put those up on Twitter, too.
Tell your father to shoot me an email.
I will.
Okay, thanks, Greg. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
Greg. Okay, coming up next, we'll circle back to all the football stuff, but I do want to just introduce, or Maz has a plethora of baseball items that he wants to get to, including maybe some palace intrigue with the Red Sox. But there's a list of baseball items. There's a LeBron Lakers follow we have next hour as well. We'll do it all with your calls after Murray's 90-second update. There's no commercials here, and we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.